Pray for the service today, that you would bless it, that you would work mightily, speak to us, pour out your Spirit on this place and on all who are listening. We pray, Lord, it's a good day, a good day to hear from you and a good day to be a Christian. Use us, Lord, to share truth in this world so desperately needs it today. And we do worship you in spirit and in truth. Acknowledge you are Almighty God, the creator of heaven and earth. You reign. You control all things. We pray that we would draw closer to you today. We ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. Welcome to Calvary Chapel Lake Forest, our Sunday morning service. We pray you're doing well, standing fast in the faith and in the Lord. We just want to remind you that we're here on Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. We'll be in the book of 1 Peter, chapter 4, from verse 7 on. And 1 Peter 4:7 starts with, "But the end of all things is at hand." That's so true. The end of all things is at hand. He's coming quickly, as we can see as we look around the world. Today we're in John chapter 6, verses 30 to 35. And the message is, "I am the bread of life." And you that are here, we'd ask you to stand now as we have our responsive reading in John chapter 6, verses 30 to 35. And I will read the even-numbered verses and ask you to read the odd-numbered verses as we go through verse 35. "Therefore they said to him, 'What sign will you perform then, that we may see it and believe you? What work will you do?' Then Jesus said to them, 'Most assuredly I say to you, Moses did not give you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven.
For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world.'
Then they said to him, 'Lord, give us this bread always.' Thank you, God. We are hungry and thirsty this morning. Feed us. Quench our thirst. We feast on your word. We thank you that we have it. Let it be alive to all of us, Lord, who hear this message, and let it change our lives. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Today we're going to talk about bread. I don't know of anybody that doesn't like bread. I know everybody likes it because they say it's not too good for you to eat too much bread, so it must be great. But we're going to talk about bread today, a staple. I'm sure everybody's familiar with this subject of bread, and you have your favorite bread. Maybe some of you even make bread. I know a lot of people now, once the virus hit, are making their own bread, especially in the early days when they couldn't find much bread. And you go to the stores and you can't find a bread maker. I mean, people are making their own bread. And we're learning a lot. Food is something we could talk about all day and then go out and eat. It makes us hungry. I don't know if you ever watch the cooking shows. Sometimes I'll watch them. And you're getting hungrier and hungrier and hungrier. It looks so good. But today we're going to talk about the bread of life. Jesus, that true staple, something or actually someone we all need. And we could talk about him forever. And he should be in our conversations more. In our context here, Jesus is attracting the attention of crowds as he's going around performing miracles. And they're beginning to follow him. He's multiplied 5 small barley loaves and 2 fish, which fed 5,000 men, not counting women and children. Just the day before of what we read today, he did that. He fed those people, performed that miracle. the day before. But the people weren't getting the fact that the miracles were just signs that he was performing to show that he was the Son of God and had the power of God. He was the Messiah and that they should come to him. He didn't do it to be a miracle worker or do something spectacular. It was to demonstrate who he is so that people might believe in him and be saved. In verse 29, where we ended last time, Jesus answered and said to them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he sent." He says, this is what God wants you to do. Believe in me. There's no working your way to heaven. Faith is the way you get there. There's works and then there's faith. You get there by faith. That's what's required for salvation. You don't work at it at all. The signs are just proving who he is. He just told them that. You know, that what the work of God requires is that you believe in me. And what do they say the very next verse where we pick it up today, verse 30? Therefore they said to him, "What sign will you perform then, that we may see it and believe you? What work will you do?" Isn't that incredible? Did you ever say, if God performed a miracle in my life, I would never doubt him? He's maybe performed 100 by now in your life. And we still get doubts at times. These people just saw that miracle. And the very next thing they ask him is, well, what sign will you perform then? What are you going to do today, Jesus? That we may see it and then believe you. What work will you do? They went back to work, some kind of work. Isn't that an interesting statement? Let me see you do it, then I'll believe it. Is that faith? That's not faith. Jesus, do more, perform for us so we will believe you. The hard-hearted people, wicked hearts, they want another sign. People today just require signs, miracles. In spite of the previous day, they ask for another sign, more of the physical. Jesus was right in verse 26 when he said, "Most assuredly, I say to you, you seek me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled." You just want to fill up your bellies. You just want to be taken care of. That's why you're following me around. Same way today, many people have this false faith in Jesus. It's more for the blessings than the blesser. It's more for the healings and the miracles than the worker of those miracles, Jesus. See, they're wanting the benefits rather than the one who blesses. Wrong reasons. He said faith, they said signs. We want more food. It's another day that we may see and believe. You know, that's not God's order. Let me see, then I'll believe. Well, what kind of faith would that be? Maybe today you're having a hard time trusting God. Just believe by faith. Just believe by faith. Then you will see God work. Your eyes will be opened spiritually. They're saying more signs. And Jesus is saying faith. Let me see and I will believe. You see, people that are into signs or God doing something for them will always demand more signs. And when he doesn't perform your way, they will say, God doesn't love me, or he doesn't care. You know, God is going to love you no matter what. I don't care how wretched and horrible I or you am. He's still going to love us. Never stop. But they're saying, we want more. They're saying, you know, work, let us see so we can believe. In John 20, verse 29, it says, "Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe." God's way is believe you'll be blessed. Very important text today. So many people want the miracle worker and not the Savior. They want prosperity here, a little religion. They don't really thirst for the Lord. People demand that God work, perform. Let's turn ahead to Hebrews chapter 11, please. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. Hebrews 11, verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Without faith, you can't please God, no matter what you do. But you must believe that he is who he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. If you just seek him, he will reward you. Doesn't that sound good? Seek the Lord. Seek the Lord, and he will reward you. The crowd is sort of challenging Jesus now, verse 31. They said, our fathers ate the manna in the desert, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Here's what they're telling Jesus now. Jesus, you did a great work yesterday. You multiplied the bread and the fish. But Moses in the wilderness was able to bring food from heaven for 40 years every day. What you did is nothing compared to Moses. Isn't that sick? Hey, God, our fathers ate manna in the desert at his return. He gave them bread from heaven to eat. That was a lot more. Why don't you do more for us? What they're probably thinking, you know, maybe I won't ever have to work again. As long as Jesus is around, he'll just provide everything for me. That sounds like a good way to live. Why don't you be like Moses? He fed Israel in the wilderness for 40 years with this bread from heaven, which we call manna, which they called manna. So they're challenging Jesus. You did it once. He did it every day for 40 years. But you notice they said Moses did it? They said Moses did it. They quoted Psalm 78. Let's turn back to Psalm 78, verse 24. Psalm 78, verse 24. We read there, and Psalm 78 is about what he did in the wilderness for them. Psalm, verse 24. He had rained down manna on them to eat and given them of the bread of heaven. Men ate angels' food. Hey, it was angels' food. Every time I see an angel's food cake, I think of the angels. I like that, sweet and spongy and all sticky. Maybe that's where they got the name. Men ate angels' food. He sent them food to the full. Isn't that interesting? Wow, he fed them from heaven. God did, not Moses. God did. God provided this manna in the desert. Let's turn back to Exodus 16, please. Exodus 16. Exodus 16, verse 3 to 6. And the children of Israel said to them, oh, that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the pots of meat and when we ate bread to the full. For you brought us out into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. Then the Lord said to Moses, behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you. The Lord will. And the people shall go out and gather a certain quota every day that I may test them whether they will walk in my way or not. And it shall be on the sixth day that they shall prepare what they bring in, and it shall be twice as much as they gather daily. Then Moses and Aaron said to all the children of Israel, at evening you shall know that the Lord has brought you out of the land of Egypt. Hey, he's going to give you bread from heaven. But go over to verse 14. When the layer of dew lifted, there on the surface of the wilderness was a small round substance as fine as frost on the ground. So when the children of Israel saw it, they said to one another, what is it? That's what manna means. Manna means, what is it? They didn't know what it was. There's this food on the ground, for they did not know what it was. And Moses said to them, this is the bread which the Lord has given you to eat. You notice the Lord gave it to them to eat, not Moses, the Lord did. Verse 20, they were told to gather twice as much the day before the Sabbath, so they wouldn't have to go get it on the Sabbath. But they didn't trust the Lord, so they went out and took a bunch, and then it rotted and smelled, went out on the Sabbath, and there was none there. And we see verse 20, notwithstanding, they did not heed Moses, but some of them left part of it until morning, and it bred worms and stank, and Moses was angry with them. So we have to listen to the Lord to provide our daily bread, and he will. But he's not there for our wants. God, what are you going to do today to take care of me? I want you to be there always for me. It is good to depend on the Lord for our daily and minute-by-minute needs, a walk by faith. In Genesis 22:14, the Lord is called Jehovah Jireh. Genesis 22:14, Jehovah Jireh, which means the Lord will provide. That's what we have to know God as, Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. So back to our text, verse 31. They said, hey, our fathers ate the manna in the desert, as it is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Now, God gave them this bread from heaven. In verse 32, Jesus said to them, most assuredly, I say to you, Moses did not give you the bread from heaven. He didn't give you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. Moses didn't give it to you. You know, it's interesting. He doesn't even get into the discussion. They're trying to get into discussion with him about taking care of them. They said, well, we were provided for 40 years in the wilderness. The Lord doesn't even attack that. He says, first of all, Moses didn't give you bread from heaven. My Father did. And he gives you the bread from heaven today. Now, if a person is demanding signs and miracles and for God to answer their every request, it will never end if you're not walking with the Lord by faith. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. I know God will take care of me. Well, I'll trust in God if he heals me. God says, I don't make deals. Without faith, it's impossible to come to me. You must come to God by faith, not demanding miracles, because they will never be full. And God's saying, I'm going to give you bread that will fill you up. Let's turn back to Psalm 78, where we were. See how this works if we're always demanding that God would work or perform a sign or a miracle. Psalm 78, let's look at verse 12. Psalm 78, 12, speaking of what God did for them. Marvelous things he did in the sight of their fathers, in the land of Egypt, in the field of Zoan. He divided the sea and caused them to pass through, and he made the waters stand up like a heap. You would say, that's quite a miracle. He parted the Red Sea. I would never doubt the Lord if I ever saw that. Well, they did. In the daytime also, he led them with the cloud, and all the night with the light of fire. Another miracle. He split the rocks in the wilderness and gave them drink in abundance like the depths. He also brought streams out of the rock, water out of the rock. Boy, if I ever saw that, I'd truly never doubt the Lord. And caused waters to run down like rivers. But they sinned even more against them by rebelling against the Most High in the wilderness. And they tested God in their heart by asking for the food of their fancy. Lord, feed us. Oh, no, I don't like that kind of bread. I want another kind of bread. Yet they spoke against God. They said, can God prepare a table in the wilderness? Can he take care of us in the wilderness journey? There's nothing out here. Behold, he struck the rock so that the waters gushed out and the streams overflowed. Well, can he also give bread? Can he provide meat for his people? Therefore, the Lord heard this and was furious. So a fire was kindled against Jacob, and anger against also came up against Israel, because they did not believe in God. They did not trust in his salvation. Yet had commanded the clouds above and opened the doors of heaven, rained down manna on them to eat and gave them of the bread of heaven, men and angels' food, and sent them food to the full. And yet they did not obey. Look at verse 32. In spite of this, they still sinned and did not believe in his wondrous works. See, this is the way human nature is. The one thing in life that we have to believe in without seeing is Jesus, God. We have to believe, because we're never going to see him till we get there. We have to believe that he is, that he's the Messiah, the Savior, and he will get me to heaven. And we also have to believe that he will take care of my daily needs. And as I seek him, his will be done in my life. We have to believe that. We have to have faith without seeing. We can't be saying, if God would only do this, I would truly believe. Did you ever say that? I can remember saying, you know, you get yourself into trouble sometimes. You make bad decisions in life, don't you? And sometimes we say, God, if you get me out of this, I'll never do this again. Did you ever do it again? Did you ever doubt? You see, if that's our kind of a God that has to perform, we'll be like the children in the wilderness. We're never really his people. We have a God that is like Santa Claus that provides anything I want. And that's not the true God. Why do we go through sickness, disease, lose a job, hurt, broken hearts, trouble? Why? The Bible tells us to test us to see if our faith is real. We're tested. We stand fast in our faith, and we know God is there. He will take care of me. When the world would say, you're crazy, you're in a bad situation, you're in trouble, I would find something else in life. No, we trust God. Faith is required in the Christian. Maybe you walked in here today and you're in a horrible state, or you're listening and you're in a horrible state. If you're a Christian, have faith in God to work it out. Yeah, but I don't see how. That's faith. When you don't see it, that's faith. They wanted to continually see it. More bread today, more miracles today. If you'll only do this for me. So back to our text, verse 32, he just bypasses what they're demanding and says, Moses didn't give you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. He goes to the heart of the issue. You need faith and you'll have real life. Most assuredly, whenever we see that, it means verily, verily. Hey, listen up, take note. Moses didn't give you the manna, God did. And secondly, my Father will give you the true bread from heaven. That stirred them up. Wait a minute, what's that kind of bread? My Father will give you the true bread, from real bread, life-giving bread, spiritual food, real life-giving food. The manna was food for them physically while they were here, but they hungered and died. Didn't draw them to the Lord. My Father gives you the true bread from heaven, good food to eat, satisfying, will last eternally. What is this bread that Jesus is talking about, this true bread? Verse 33, comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. And it's he, this bread, who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. He is living bread, Jesus. He's who we feast on. We go to him daily, minute by minute. People in the world are dead. Dead men and women in their sin, headed for destruction, with no hope of real life or ever realizing why they were here. You come to Jesus, you have life and a reason for being here. He who comes down from heaven, Jesus, you notice? In verse 33, my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. Jesus existed in heaven before Bethlehem. He was there. He's God. And he came down here to give us life. He's the real thing. He gets their attention, verse 34. Then they said to him, Lord, give us this bread always. These people are really looking for someone to take care of them. You know what they said? Lord, give us this bread always. Are they thinking, you mean God will give us some bread from heaven? We'll have it always? We never will have to work again? I like that, always. Are they still thinking about the physical or material and asking for this real bread always, like manna? Jesus knows the heart, and he gets to the point, man's greatest need. Verse 35. Jesus said to them, hey, you have me right here in front of you. I am the bread of life. And he who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. Satisfaction. Look at John 6, verse 58. This is the bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers ate the manna and are dead. He who eats this bread will live forever. He shows them the difference between the physical bread and manna that they were given and the bread that he gives. They died. You won't if you eat of that bread, Jesus Christ. See, that bread, no matter what you have in life, you're still going to die. With Jesus, we're promised that we're never going to die. He who lives and believes in me shall never die. We just move to a better place. That sounds good. And I don't have to be involved in the move. It just takes me there. Everything provided for. Quite a statement. I am the bread of life. I am this bread from heaven that gives life. I fill your thirst. People, you eat and are hungry again. You drink and you still are thirsty again. That's true for us today. That's never going to fill us up. But he says, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. I will give you spiritual life, forgiveness of sins. I'm your sustenance, your life, your future. People that are living for this life will never be filled. Man is a born sinner. The sin must be resolved, washed away. Jesus is the resolution. If you want to go to heaven, anybody out there, if you want to go to heaven, your sin has to be washed away. You can't get in with sin on your soul. How does your sin get taken care of? By the blood of Jesus Christ. And by faith, you believe that. If you believe that, you'll never die. You'll go to heaven. Man is dead in their sin. In Ephesians 2, we read about that. Let's turn there. Ephesians 2. The book of Ephesians, chapter 2, verse 1. Ephesians 2, verse 1. We read, and you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. Verse 5, even when we were dead in trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. We were dead, but now we're alive. It's good to know that we're never going to die and that whatever happens to us has passed through God and He's allowed it. Isn't that good to know? Otherwise, we'd be wondering all the time, what's going on? Where am I going? When you have faith, you know that you're going to end up in heaven for all eternity. And you know while you're here, God is in control of your life. That's good. But if you don't have faith, you'll have fear, which we studied a couple of weeks ago. Faith or fear, they don't go together. Perfect love casts out fear. So Jesus loves these people, and He's drawing them to Himself. Say, get your mind off of the material, off of the physical, off of the bread and eating, and get your mind on the real issue of life. Because no matter what you attain in life, you're going to come up empty and thirsty. And we can all say that no matter what we get in life, you still get hungry and thirsty for life. You seek it. You're trying to find it. And many don't want this spiritual life because they love the world, the material, the sin, more than God. In John 10, verse 9 and 10, Jesus said, I came to give life and that more abundantly. So those that have received Jesus as Lord and Savior have received the bread from heaven. He is the bread of life. They've received this bread from heaven and they are alive. We're alive. Those that haven't are dead. They're just going through the motions here on earth. Don't you hate to waste time? Waste time on projects and it comes out wrong? Or just waste time? It's horrible when you think of it. I wasted all that time and effort and it didn't work out. Well, if you're not a Christian and walking with the Lord, you're wasting your time. Isn't that horrible? Your whole life, all your effort, energy, money. If you have the Lord, it doesn't matter what you have here, you're not wasting a minute. You're living for the Lord, and He's got a plan for you. You're alive. Others are at a dead end. Jesus came into the world to share real life. He says we'll never die. You know, a person can eat and eat and eat, still be hungry. Buy, still lack. Drink, still be thirsty, never satisfied. But Jesus said, if you come to me, I am the bread of life, you will never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. He's talking about that spiritual man, that internal man, that you will be satisfied. You can be dirt poor and satisfied. You can have a lot and be miserable. My wife and I talk a lot about the way we started out. We didn't have much, but we enjoyed what we had. Little apartment. The point is, we were together and we enjoyed living life. Just being together. You can have little and enjoy life with the Lord because you're blessed and you're not seeking, you're content. But you can have a lot and not be content and be wasting all your time. So if you're here today or listening and you're having some trouble and maybe getting discontented, my encouragement would be content in what you have. And thank the Lord for it. Be blessed. Don't miss today because you're looking at tomorrow or for an end to things. Today is the day. Enjoy it. Be blessed. You can have lots and lots and lots and not be satisfied. Jesus is saying to them, really, I'll take that feeling of thirst and hunger away from you. You can be content in me and you'll be at peace. This is bold in verse 35. He says, he who comes to me shall never hunger, who believes in me shall never thirst. Spiritually, you will be satisfied. With life, you'll be satisfied because you have all God wants you to have. Now you notice in verse 35, Jesus said, I am the bread of life. It's one of those I ams in the Bible. Guess who the I am is? The bread of life. He calls himself the I am. Let's turn back to Exodus chapter 3, please. Exodus chapter 3, verse 13. Then Moses said to God, indeed, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they say to me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? God reveals himself to Moses in the burning bush. And he says, well, Who do I say you are? And what does the Lord say? And God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am has sent you. God calls himself I am. In the Hebrew, it's haya. It means to be, the becoming one. He's all you need. He's the I am. Isn't that wonderful? Hiya. I am. Just tell him I am. I'll be everything you need. I am the one. The becoming one. All you need. So Jesus is telling them, you're seeking bread, but if you come to me, I am the bread of life. I'll give you everlasting life. Your cravings will be filled. You'll be content in him. If we allow our flesh to, if we make our flesh get out of the way and be content with the Lord. Love, joy, peace, relationship. Flesh gets in the way and ruins everything. Don't let it. Be content. Come to me and you'll never hunger or never thirst. So many people in the world are hungering and thirsting in this world and never satisfied. A lot of people I hear out there complaining about the situation today. We look at each other and say, we're blessed. We're blessed. So you have some hardship. We're blessed. We know the Lord. Our needs are taken care of. How can we complain? Just think about what you're complaining about. Simple, material, personal things. We'll be embarrassed in eternity about our complaining. We'll realize how great God is. And we were so concerned about things here. How could we ever complain? You know, like people, I've said this before, people complain about paying taxes. I say, thank God you can pay taxes. It means you made some money. There's people that don't have a job. So if you ever complain about taxes, think about the time God allowed you to be unemployed. I've been there, and I said, oh, I'm sorry, God. When I was on that job, I was complaining and murmuring, I hate this job. I don't like going to work Monday morning. Then it was taken away. You say, oh, I didn't mean it, God. I really didn't mean it. You know, you give it back to me, I'll be glad to go back. You call the boss and they already hired someone else. Ah! Don't complain. We're blessed. How can we complain? That's because this flesh hungers and thirsts for the things of this world. Good example is Thanksgiving Day. You know what? It's going to be October. That's going to be coming pretty soon. I can be full. I don't know about you, but I fill up on Thanksgiving Day. Stuffed, just like the turkey. The stuffing goes from the turkey to me. Can't eat another bite. Did you ever say that? I can't eat another bite. No dessert today, sir. I can't take another bite. Then I find myself going back and picking and snacking on the turkey, on the pie. Did you ever do that? Or am I the only one? You go and you eat again. At night, more pie, more cream on it. Might as well finish the cream. And then later on, you feel sick. You know what? With sick, I might not even be hungry, but I'll go and get more. Because I eat with my eyes sometimes. That's why I'm no good at buffets. I eat with my eyes. That's not good. I'd rather have somebody just serve me. Eat that little portion, and that's it. I know if it's there in the fridge or on the counter, I must eat. I must be satisfied. The flesh wants it. And if you don't walk in the Spirit, you have no hope of success. You'll give in. That's the way it is with everything in life. Everything in life. That's a simple thing. But we have no power without Jesus to resist. We have the benefit of the Holy Spirit dwelling in us. We can say no. Life is more than about here, more than bread or drink. One gets involved with women or sex or drugs or alcohol or other things, addictions, but they want more and bigger and better, more money, whatever it is. It's sick, even our young people, drugs and more and different kinds. You know what I just heard on the radio this morning in the news? That it's on the internet now, challenging young people to take Benadryl. And there's this contest out there, who can take more? And if you take so much, you'll start having hallucinations, and they want to get there. One girl has died. But it's on there now on a certain website, and it's challenging the young people. You know how gullible they are? Well, if you took 10, I'm going to take 12. And it says they're taking more. It says, warning to parents, lock up your cabinet. Benadryl, because it kills you after a while. And I think of that. But this has been going on for a lot of years now. We're going from one thing to another. They'll find it, whatever it is that makes you high. And that's that hunger and thirst, which leads to death, and then spiritual death. The flesh never fills up, never satisfied. Thank God for the bread of heaven, Jesus, victory. My hunger and thirsting are over. I'm not seeking anything. I found it, Jesus. I have life. I can get tempted. I can get sidetracked if I get my focus on me or the flesh and off of Jesus. But I have Jesus and the Holy Spirit. And as I walk in that Spirit, I'm satisfied, and I have the power of the Holy Spirit. People need Jesus. Pray that God gives you a chance to share with others. And that most of all, let them see it in you. Because today, people are finding out it's not what you say. They just can get rid of that right away, because they call people hypocrites because they're not living that way. It's more of what you do, of how you live. Let them see your godly life in Christ Jesus so that they know they can have life too. God, thank you so much for your word today. We thank you that we have life, that we have joy, that we have peace, and we have the Holy Spirit. It's so good to have our search for life over. Thank you so much for your word today. Jesus, you are the bread of life, and he who comes to you will never thirst or be hungry. If you're listening to this message today and you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, maybe you're a churchgoer, maybe not. Maybe you've been raised in a Christian family, maybe not. Maybe you faked it for a while, but you can't fool Jesus. Maybe the Lord has spoken to you today and you want the Lord in your life. You want that hunger and thirst over. You want that feeling of satisfaction and contentment. It can only happen with a relationship with God, and that has to happen through Jesus Christ. I'm going to say a little prayer. You can just repeat this prayer, but the main thing is to mean it in your heart, to believe it, and to be serious with God. It's not the words that I'll share you, it's the heart. So you can just repeat them. What it will be doing is asking the Lord to come into your life and take over. You must repent, turn from your sin, ask for forgiveness, and start following Jesus. But here's something that you can say. Dear God in heaven, I am a sinner, and I am so sorry for my sin. I am hungry and thirsty, and I've been in the world trying different things to fill that void. God, none of it works, and I thank you that it didn't. It drew me to you to hear this message today. God, I believe that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came to this earth to die on the cross for my sin, to pay the penalty for my sin. And I believe that the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses a man from all sin. I have faith in that. So I now ask Jesus to come into my life and take over. I surrender to you, Lord. You are my Lord and Savior. Teach me your word. Show me how to live. And help me to walk in the Spirit. And I now thank you, Lord, that I have passed from death to life. And I pray that in Jesus' name, amen.